Well, are you guys ready to get in the Word this morning? Well, we're about to start a new series, and it's called A Bigger Story. Everybody say, A Bigger Story. A Bigger Story, the Bible and you. A Bigger Story, the Bible and you. There's something inside all of us that desires for our life to count for something. Can anybody relate with that? There's something in our lives that wants our life to be significant. In a culture that demands success, how many know in the kingdom, significance is more of a priority? Because even though you might not be recognized for success, listen, even the littlest thing in the kingdom can be a huge significance. It can be a huge impact, a huge difference. We all desire to live a life of impact, influence, and even important. And sometimes it's switching our mindsets from being what seems to be a success instead of pursuing that success, but listen, really going after a life of significance. How many want your life to be significant? We want our life to matter. As a chubby junior high kid, I remember staring in the mirror, wrestling with two stories. There I am. Y'all like my chubby cheeks? But when I was in junior high, I wrestled with two stories. The first story came to me as a young boy growing up in catechism in the Catholic Church. It gave me a general belief that there was a God. How many of you just appreciate your Catholic roots just for giving you a belief that there was a God? But it wasn't enough to know I could have a relationship with God. It never satisfied the question for me as I started asking and questioning my existence in junior high. Why was I born? Why on earth, God, did you put me on this planet? The second story I wrestled with when I was in junior high was what I learned as a seventh grader in Miss McKinstry's class. It was the theory of evolution, that over time the human race evolved from apes, and if that was the case, what was my bigger purpose if I evolved and wasn't created? And I would literally sit on the edge of my bed and look in the mirror across that was across from my bed on the dresser, and I would look deeply into the mirror just wondering, why was I born? And asking questions like, who would I be if I wasn't Dean? And who would I be if I was never born? Those kinds of confusing things, trying to straighten those things out in my mind. My point is this. You and I will never be able to satisfy the questions of why we were born. What is our purpose on this planet? What is our responsibility as human beings? What is our mission as Christians and our role and representation of being the church? We'll never be able to satisfy the questions if we are disconnected and detached from a bigger story written by the author and finisher of our faith. I remember as a young Christian sitting on the front row, so attentive, listening to every word that was coming from my pastor's mouth, and I remember hearing for the very first time, you've probably heard this acronym, but he said, the Bible stands for, you guys know where I'm going with this, the Bible stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. Have you ever heard that? It was the basic instructions before leaving earth, and now 30 plus years later, I understand and know that the Bible, listen, is way more than basic instructions. Hello. But is actually the breath of God. Everybody say the breath of God. Listen, that every time we open this word, listen, God breathes life into us. He'll breathe life into your dreams. He'll breathe life into your marriage. He'll breathe life into your family. He'll breathe life into your job. Whatever you're doing, listen, when you open this book, listen, if you dare to ask the Holy Spirit, He will breathe on you. You see, through the power of the Holy Spirit can inspire and insert your story into a bigger one. 2 Timothy 3:16, I'm reading out of the Message. It says, every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, and training us to live God's way. Through the Word, I love this last part here. Underline it if you have it. Through the Word, we are put together. How many are you thankful that the Word of God can put everything together for you? Through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the task God has for us. Over the next several weeks, I want to invite you to go on a journey with us, to go on a journey with me, and I want to invite you to discover and live in God's narrative by allowing your story to become consumed with His. Not just your story. Come on, how many know our culture is into story? Come on, we're into our timelines on Facebook. We're into our Insta stories. Come on, people want to build their story, but listen, disconnected from His, we have nothing. When I was in high school, I'm embarrassed to say I was a smart kid, but I was a lazy kid. Anybody with me? In other words, I could have did well in school if I wanted to, but I chose not to do my homework. And I'm embarrassed to say I never read an entire book. And I missed out on some literary classics written by famous authors because when it came to homework and studying, I just didn't do it. And I winged it. And I took shortcuts whenever and however I could. And my grades proved it. When I was a freshman, despite the teacher's warning to read the books from cover to cover, I would go out and buy the Cliff Notes. Anybody familiar with the Cliff Notes? Can you guys put that slide up there? Oh, yeah, the Cliff Notes, which the upperclassmen would tell me, yeah, just go get the Cliff Notes, and it'll save you from reading the entire book, and it'll actually prepare you for those exams. Well, how many know Pastor Dean never passed the test? Because there were details the author wrote that were intended for the reader to read and be entertained and enjoy that I could have only experienced if I read the entire story. Hello. And if I would have took time, I would have discovered personally by reading the entire book. But I never knew those details because I settled for the summary. Listen, we've got too many Christians, come on, dependent on the pastor, dependent on the preacher, come on, to summarize the story on Sundays. Hello, but there are some details in this book, listen, that will impact your destiny. Come on, that the Holy Spirit will use to speak to you that I couldn't even speak to you. And this morning and over the next several weeks, I'm here to inspire you to open up this book and let the Holy Spirit breathe on your life. Don't miss out on the bigger story of the Bible by settling for the shortcut, by settling for the summary, by settling for the Cliff Notes. Let's jump into our text today as I set up our series, Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16, says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. I love that. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Verse 15, you watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me. Listen to this. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Think about that for a moment. Meditate on this passage this week. In our second passage, Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should, everybody say should, we should walk in them. Leads me to my first point in your notes there on the back of the weekly. I want to challenge you to discover his wonder. Discover his wonder. You see, when we understand and dare to live our life with wonder of the author of the bigger story, we won't be tempted to wander and write our own. You see, God desires that we live our lives with awe, and in awe, which comes from a place of revelation. But our culture, listen, demands that we have an explanation. Let me say that again. God desires that we live our lives with awe and in awe. How many know in the book of Acts, if you go from page to page, you see that. Listen, the New Testament church constantly lived in awe and wonder of their Creator God. And listen, we have to allow those awe moments to come back into church again. When we gather together, we just have to take a few moments and just be amazed by who He is. As Pastor Alicia so eloquently said last week, and she was really setting us up for this series and she didn't know it, but we have to get back to this place where we're just in awe of who He is. A revelation of who He is in worship. But our culture demands that we have an explanation. There's a scripture that we often quote, but we lived out the first half. It's 1 Peter 3:15, and what we usually say with this scripture, we say, if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. And so we use that, and it's a great verse, and we use that as, a way to say, hey, you need to be ready to defend your faith. But we skip over the first half of that verse, which is so important. Look at it, 1 Peter 3:15. I don't have this up on the screens. This was a early morning download, hallelujah. It says, in the NLT, it says, instead, this is how the verse starts, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. That is the revelation. That's why we worship. Listen, that when I'm in His presence, listen, there are moments of awe. Listen, there are moments that are amazing. There are moments that are so wonderful, I can't even put words to it. But listen, it's in that experience. Listen, it's in that experience when I experience and encounter His presence. Now I can go and I can explain to you what I experienced. It says, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord as your life. And then it says, and if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain. We have to go, listen, we've got to stop always trying to explain it without a revelation. You see, if we're not careful, we will attempt to have an explanation for God who is only fully grasped through revelation. Psalm 139 Verse 13 and 14 says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Verse 14, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. I love that. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. If God made us wonderfully complex, I want to challenge us this morning. Let's dare to live our lives full of wonder, right? If we're wonderfully complex, let's dare to live our lives full of wonder, right? We're always trying to figure things out, right? But let's allow God, come on, to insert into our stories the ability to be amazed and awed and live in wonder with Him. You see, some of us are so caught up in the complexity of life, it's choking out the wonderful things in our life. Can we just take a moment, just a little pause right here, just to lift your hands, if you're comfortable with that, to lift your hands and thank God for your wonderful, complex life right now. Come on, some of you, you're trying to figure your spouse out, but you just need to thank God for the wonderful complexity, come on, that He created them to be, right? Come on, you're allowing the enemy to choke, the complexities to choke out the wonderfulness of your God. Can we just lift our hands and just thank Him, Lord? We thank You. Come on, the things you can't figure out. Come on, the things that you've been asking Him, the things that you've been wondering about. Listen, I've said this in this the Divine Mentor series. Listen, let's just get caught up in the wow for a moment. Can we do that? Lord, we just get caught up in the wow, Lord, and we give the how to You. And we yield to You, God. We thank You for Your presence that's in this place. Thank You, God, when we can't figure it out, You already know. We thank You, Jesus. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Can you just ask Him to write a bigger story? Come on, God. Connect me to Your bigger story today. Hallelujah. Amen. He goes on to say, and your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Verse 15 of Psalm 139, you watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. I love the promises of the Bible. But over the next several weeks, I want us to discover the Bible is more than just promises. Hello. You guys with me? You see, sometimes we're settling for picking and choosing promises instead of allowing God to reveal Himself personally to us through His Word. You see, one of our five habits, again, to go back to it, is to not just love God, but to love God personally, to experience intimacy in our relationship with Him. How many know God desires to have intimacy with His creation? He desires to have intimacy. That is the goal. Listen, not just to love God on Sunday, but to have intimacy with Him on a daily basis. You see, don't treat the Bible like a fortune cookie. Come on. Don't treat the Bible like a fortune cookie. You know, you only crack it open when you want a promise. You only crack it open when you go to Panda Express. You might need the Bible if you go to Panda Express, but I don't know. But don't treat the Bible like a fortune cookie when you can know the One who creates your future. I love the principles of the Bible, yet the Bible is more than just good principles. Sometimes we settle for using biblical principles as a formula instead of allowing God's Word to form us. Again, it goes back to another one of our habits, living abundantly from the resources of heaven as believers. Not talking about material things, but the spiritual wealth, listen, that God wants us to operate from. How many know we should have no lack when it comes to the resources of heaven? Listen, if I'm having problems loving You, how many know I'm tapped into a God who is love? Come on. When I'm in a place of confusion and I need clarity, how many know I serve the God of truth? Who is truth? Again, it's one of our five habits. And it's the difference between knowing about His love and experiencing His love. I love the power of the Bible. How many love the power of the Bible? I love it. Yet the Bible is more than just power. If I'm focused just on the power, I miss the person of Jesus the power points to. If I'm focused just on the power, I miss the person that the Bible points to. You see, the goal is not promises coming to pass, principles working, power flowing through my life. I'm not discounting that, but disconnected, this is in your notes, disconnected from becoming more like Him, I will experience a hollow and shallow Christianity. Do you guys hear what I'm saying? Disconnected from a personal relationship with Jesus. And we see it across the leadership landscape of the church. Men and women of God moving in power. But listen, internally and morally, they're dying. Come on. Principles, and they've got it all together on the outside, but on the inside, they're rotting away. You see, disconnected from becoming more like Him. That's what it's about. If you wanted to just bottom line it this morning, our Christian journey. Listen, it's not about growing a big church. It's not about getting successful. No, it's not about any of that. It's conforming to the image of His Son. Romans 8:29 says, "For He knew," I'm reading out of the Passion Translation, "for He knew all about us before we were born." He knew everything about you and I before we were born, and He destined us from the beginning to share in the likeness of His Son. He didn't say He destined us from the beginning to build a big platform. He didn't say any of that. He said, "No, I destined you from the beginning to share in the likeness of My Son." It says He knew all about us. If you look that up in the original language, it's the word foreknew. We get hung up on this passage, by the way, in church. But He knew all about us, meaning He had knowledge beforehand, before you were born. Listen, the original design and details of God's perfect plan. Say perfect plan. The details of God's perfect plan for our lives were laid before Him. Do you guys get that? The plans for your and our lives, the details of our lives were laid before Him. Listen, before you were even a thought, before you were even a thought, God had your plan, my plan, laid before Him. Now check this out. It says He destined us. Everybody say, He destined us. So listen, He has the plans laid out before Him, and then it says He destined us. It's the word predestined. How many of you guys heard that word before, right? All the debates on predestination and all those different things. But what that word predestined means is it's a declaration. It means that He declared. Not only did He have the plans for your and I's lives laid before Him, listen, it says He declared His perfect plan for our lives and our lives from eternity to come to pass. Let me say that again. So He has the plans laid before Him, and then it says He destined us, which means He declared His perfect plan for our lives from eternity. Come on. From eternity, before there was time, He was declaring the plan for our lives, come on, into existence. You see, God knows the very details of your story and all of its points to sharing in the likeness of His Son. You have to get this in a bigger story, that the goal is becoming more like Him. The goal is not having more money in your pockets. Although, how many know, having more money in our pockets is nice, right? Our goal is to become more like Him. You might be thinking, well, I actually can mess that up, right? God gave us choice, right? And actually, we already did. Romans 3:23 says, "All sinned and fallen short of the glory of God," right? But God, this is what I want us to get. God hasn't given up on our original design. He hasn't given up on our story, and He's contending for what He created us for, and He's contending for our story. Listen, He's contending for our story to point to His glory. That's the goal. Listen, so the plans are laid out before Him. Listen, and because we have choice, how many know we mess that up sometimes? But the powerful thing is, we skip over this in the same chapter, Romans 8:26. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness." Come on, how many of you ever just had a weak moment? "For we do not know that what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes," I love this, "makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Verse 27, "Now He who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for" who? For who? "For the saints according to" the what? Can we put, do I not, did I add this too? Oh man, this was another daily download. Oops. Maybe I can get that scripture up next service. But it says He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So listen, God has his original design from the very beginning. He's destined us. In other words, he's declaring it before. Come on. He's declaring it. And when we make bad choices, hello. When we get off track, hello. When we have a little hiccup in our giddy up, hello. When we mess up our relationships, listen, when we go from something happens and disrupts our life, listen, the plan is ever before him. And listen, the prayers that were prayed before the beginning of time for you and I, listen, he's still declaring your potential. He's still declaring that you would become more like him. I wish somebody would get this in here. Now listen, no matter how much you think you've blown it, God's saying, oh, Dean, you messed up on that one. You didn't do, but this is what I planned for your life. You see, you had a setback. You experienced depression, but I've called you to be a pastor. I've called you to be a pastor, and you might have taken a few detours, but I see the plan of God on your life. He's declaring it before the Holy One. That's what happens when I don't preach for a few weeks. Come on. And it goes on. We skip right over this. We get all caught up in a debate about, you know, predestination and all this stuff. And it simply means, like, I had a plan for your life, and I'm still contending for it. I'm still contending for it. I love that. It just shows me the constant love of God, the constant mercy of God, the constant grace that flows before his throne. He never gives up on you and I. Look at Romans 8, verses 31. Look at, they gave me a bottle of water. Come on. 8:31. Look at this, because people are going to have questions. Well, God, I really blew it. I mean, Paul, the Romans, the Corinthians, right? He was dealing with some messed up folks, right? And Paul says in verse 31 of chapter 8, he says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, you need to have a revelation that God is for you. Listen, he's not putting shame on you. He's not putting guilt on you. He is for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, he is for you. He is for you. Verse 32, he who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us what? All things. Everybody say all things. That's that abundant life that I'm talking about. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Do you know what justification is? Do you know what justification is? Just as if I had never sinned. It's a declaration. Listen, come on. It's a part of the process God declared in the beginning. Come on. And how many know when you got saved, there was another declaration. You've been set free by the blood of Jesus. There's no argument. There's no debate. Listen, I have set you free from Satan's grasp. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore, listen to this, is also risen, verse 34, who is even at the right hand of God. And what is Jesus doing at the right hand of God? Who also makes intercession for us. He's interceding for the bigger story in our lives. He hasn't given up on your story. Don't give up on finishing. Come on. Don't give up on finishing the project. Don't give up on God's process. He's not finished with you yet. Leads me to my second point. Discover his works. You see, when we discover his works for our life, we step into what we are to do with our life. When we discover his works for our life, we step into what we are to do with our life. Don't miss the importance of belonging to a bigger story. You see, the bigger story of the Bible is that you and I can have a personal relationship with God. How many know that's basic? Come on, how many check the box on that one? right? Oh, you're like, oh, Pastor Dean, come on. Yes, that's basic. An even bigger story is that your story comes together in the context of his story. That's belonging. Everybody say belonging. Yet it doesn't stop there. A better and bigger story is that you not only get to know him, you get to become more like him, and that is beautiful. Everybody say beautiful. You see, your story, write this down, your story is begging to belong to a bigger story. Your story is begging to belong to a bigger story. There's a desire and deep craving within all of us to become more like him. But in order for that to happen, we have to connect ourselves to the God of the beginning. The God of the beginning, the God who begins stories. Listen, the God who can make a new story out of your life. It doesn't matter where you're at in life right now. Maybe you've allowed a lot of time to pass. Maybe this is your first time to church in a long, long time. Or maybe you're just coming back to him. It doesn't matter. He's the author of a new story. He's the author of a better story, and he's the author of a bigger story. There's somebody struggling here today. You feel like that your story should be much bigger. And I want to just challenge you. Listen, connect it to the bigger story. Stop trying to do it by yourself. Stop trying to do it on your own. Come on, don't take shortcuts. Don't think you know it all. Tap into the wisdom of who he is. Psalm 139, verse 16. Is this making sense, anybody? It says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Just think about this. I don't even have to preach these verses. They preach themselves. It says, every moment, everybody say every moment. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Wow. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Again, we're talking about being connected to a bigger story and discovering his works for our life. What has he called you to do? So many people wandering around in life because they're not sure what they're supposed to be doing. How many know it's not a secret to God? It's not a secret to Jesus. In John 14:12, he said, I assure you. I love that. How many know Jesus brings assurance? He says, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, anyone who believes in me as Savior, I'm reading out of the Amplified Version, will also do the things that I do. And he will do even greater things. Now, a lot of people take that a little bit out of context and they twist that a little bit and they say, we're going to do greater miracles than Jesus. Well, I haven't seen anybody walk on water yet, but, right? What that means was is that we were going to see multiplied works in our day. That we were going to see everybody, listen, activated. Listen, that we were going to move, listen, from an audience to a body. And listen, it wasn't going to be, a church wasn't going to consist of a work of one man, come on, but a body that is activated, come on, and filling the earth with his glory. They will also do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these in extent and outreach, the Amplified says, because I am going to the Father. When Jesus went to the Father, who did he send? He sent the Holy Spirit. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Come on, to empower us. Come on, to make us witnesses, right? Not just to serve him at church on Sundays, right? But to boldly serve him. Come on. He sent the Holy Spirit. Come on, because he knew there was going to be a lot of work to do. Over the next 4 weeks, my desire is that you'd be connected to a bigger story by understanding four major themes of the Bible so you can discover, this is in your notes, who created you, what you've been created for, and why that's important. There's nothing like it. Amen? You know, the first time I completed reading the Bible, I was 19 years old. The first time I read it from cover to cover, there was a ton I didn't understand. Anybody with me? It was actually the first time I committed to read anything in my life, to be honest with you. But I read it from cover to cover, and there was a lot I didn't understand. And there still is. How many know he's still revealing himself to us? But the first time I read it through, I felt like I knew him better than I did before. And every time I read God's word now through, I feel the same way. He reveals things I've never seen. That whole Romans 8 thing, God just revealed that to me this week. Things I overlooked, things that are right there in front of my face, at the right time, God will reveal it to you. He reflects things. How many know this is like a mirror? Come on, and if you stare at it long enough, you'll see all the little, come on. You'll see all the things in your life, listen, that God wants to bring into alignment to his word. He shines his light on things I need to deal with. How many thankful for that? He shows me the way when I don't know the way. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Listen, I love what someone said this week. I don't know, but they said, you know, there's so much online. There's so many great teachers and speakers online. Come on, we don't even have to go to church if we didn't want to, right? There's so many great things, but listen, it's not enough to hear the word. God calls us to do it. And the way you do it is to get accountability in your life, to live your life in community. You have to live your life in community if you want to see the consistency of the kingdom flowing from your life. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Could you imagine that? Come on, ladies. Men, right? You get up, you look in the mirror, you say, oh, I'm good. Right? There's sometimes I'll be in a hurry, I'll run out without gel in my hair. The hair that I have left, at least, right? And my wife said, where are you going? Didn't you look in the mirror? Yeah, I looked in the mirror. She said, yeah, but you forgot to put gel in your hair. It's all tore up in the back. And so many times, listen, we're looking in the mirror of God's word and we shut it. Come on. And we're not tending to what needs to be tended to. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, how many know God wants to bring freedom to your life, and continues in it, there's the consistency I'm talking about, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. How many want to be blessed in what you do? How many want to be blessed in what you do? You got to look in the mirror. And then lastly, over the next several weeks, we're going to discover his way. And in your notes, it says his way, and in parentheses, I put his wisdom. His way, his wisdom will lead us to our why. You see, don't miss out on the wisdom of the bigger story. In 2002, many of you guys have read this book, but Rick Warren wrote a devotional called The Purpose-Driven Life that dared to answer the question, what on earth am I here for? The chapters were, you were planned for God's pleasure. You were formed for God's family. You were created to become like Christ. You were shaped for serving God. You were made for a mission. And you know that book was on the New York Best Time Seller for 90 weeks? And that book sold over 60 million copies. It's an amazing thing. Yet even as the best-selling book, it's still second to the only book that can breathe on your life. The most influential book, the second most influential book in Christianity, The Purpose-Driven Life, listen, is second, come on, to the Bible. It is only second to the Bible, the book that breathes, the book that lives. And over the next 4 weeks, it's my desire that you will be connected to a bigger story. It's in this context of understanding the bigger story that you begin to understand who created you, what you've been created for, and why it's important to your life. So as our team is coming up, you can go ahead and play, brother. I want to challenge you this morning. With every head bowed and eye closed, if you're here this morning and you just need to connect to his story, you need to connect to his divine plan for your life. If that's you for the first time, maybe you've been back to church first time in a long time, maybe you've never been to church and this is your first time. If you'd like to connect your story to his story, will you just lift your hand so I can pray for you? Is there anybody in here? Yes. Anybody else? Yes. Yes. Anybody else? You say, yes, back there, yes. Anybody else? You say, I need to connect my life. Yes, I see your hand. Yes. I need to connect, yes. I need to connect my life to a bigger story. Hallelujah. Those that lifted your hands, I'm going to ask you to do a brave, brave thing. I'm going to ask you to just stand right now. Will you do that? Will you do that? Just stand. Those that lifted your hands, say, I need to connect my life to a bigger story. There's something inside of me. There's something inside of me that's stirring. I'm going to invite you to come up here. Will you just come with, just stand down here with me? Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Listen, there's people up here all different places. Some of them, they need God to start a new story. Some of them are just praying for a life of significance. But will you stretch your hand forth? Come on. How many know Christ is interceding for us? But how many know the church needs to be interceding for us too? And Lord, I just thank you right now for each and every person, God, that is up here. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come and begin to lay hands as I pray. But Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would connect us to a bigger story. A bigger story, God. Lord, I pray that you create something beautiful. God, something bigger than we are. Lord, I pray for the new beginning that needs to happen today. I pray, God, that you would shift somebody's mindset, God, who is pursuing success. But Lord, you want their life to be more significant than successful. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. God, your mercies are new every morning. God, I pray for a fresh start today. God, that you'd come and you'd wash us white as snow. Lord, there'd be a revelation, God, that you would lift guilt, that you would lift shame. God, that you would lift anxiety, that you'd lift these things that are not of you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Will you just lift your hands, everybody, and will you just pray this? Everybody in the room, will you pray this? Say, dear Lord Jesus, I want to become more like you. There's nothing else in my life that's more important than becoming more like you. Change me. Conform me. Transform my life to reflect your glory and only your glory. In the mighty, powerful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we just give God praise?